Good morning, everybody. Mr. Grady, that's a fantastic jumper. I hope it doesn't distract me too much, so I may just have to turn over on this. Oh, it's got bells on it and everything. Let's pray. I think we might need the Lord's help here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word to us this morning. Oh Lord, King of Kings, would you open our hearts this morning to receive your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. If you're visiting, my name is Mark. I'm one of the part of the team that helps make the church function in this part of the wonderful world of Marcham and Oxfordshire that we live in. And it's wonderful to have you with us. And I wondered if you recognize that it's the last Sunday in Advent, which is why we lit our last purple candle this morning. And when I use the word Advent, what do you immediately think of? Well, as soon as I use the word Advent, and I think over here as well, I'm thinking of chocolate. Yeah. I'm thinking of little doors with numbers on them, starting a long way back and then climbing forward, and behind each little door is a little chocolate treat until you get to the one with the star on it, and then you get the biggest chocolate of all. Now, strictly speaking, Advent calendars are not really an Orthodox Christian resource, but they do hold something of the spirit of Advent, something about which it means. The word Advent comes from the Latin adventus, which means coming. And the season of Advent, the season that we're in today until Christmas, is a season of looking back and looking forward. We look back and celebrate the first coming of Christ as we remember his birth at Christmas. There's also a looking forward, and we look forward in anticipation to his second coming at the end of all time. So as we live today, as Christian people, we are literally living in the gap. We are living in the gap of time between Christ coming for the first time and Christ coming in the second time. And as we live between these two times, between these two poles, this time is known in the Greek as the parousia. So if you remember nothing else this morning, you can remember that Advent means coming, and that parousia is a difficult word to translate. And maybe no other Advent hymn, the hymns that we sing around this time, can express this feeling of living in the gap, living in between time, than the hymn we're going to sing in a moment, O Come, Emmanuel. It is an amazing hymn. It is a rich hymn. But I wonder if you know that it's a very, very old hymn. The version that we'll sing in a moment is first published around the middle of the 19th century, but the origins of Come, O Come, Emmanuel are very ancient indeed. Perhaps as old as the 8th or 9th century, when it was really originated as a Benedictine Gregorian chant. And tradition tells us that at the beginning of the week before Christmas, to prepare their hearts and their minds, the monks would sing a single verse of this chant every day during Advent. And the version that we'll sing later evolved and was given lyrics and a tune in 1851 by Thomas Helmore. Now, for me, this is my favorite Christmas hymn. And it seems that it stands alone in all the carols that we sing at Christmas and Advent. It is not like the exuberant and awfully joyful "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And nor is this hymn like the vigorous and bounding "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." It seems to have a different feeling, a different atmosphere. That's because O come, Emmanuel" is an Advent theme. And it's a hymn written about the now, but not yet. And the mood of the hymn seems to be longing and aching. There's a yearning and there's a hoping. And as I looked at the hymn getting ready for this, I was struck how the version that we'll sing in a moment, it's almost as if it captures the feeling of both the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. And throughout the whole of the Old Testament, there is the promise of a Messiah. It starts in Genesis and just builds and builds and builds and builds. The promise that a Savior would be sent by God to rescue his people. And that's why we had our reading from Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive and have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel," or in English, "God with us." And it's almost as if, and in the opening verse of this hymn, we look back to the ancient people of Israel. And we recognize their position. They've been captured. They've been taken prisoner. They're scared, feeling abandoned, and they call out to God for a Savior to come and rescue them. So the first line of the hymn goes, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom or free captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear." And yet even within this first part of the hymn, it's as if the New Testament then replies back in the last few lines saying, "But rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. God with us shall come to thee, O Israel." And here we see the aching of the Old Testament and the promise of the New Testament. The promise of the Savior, born to save his people, was fulfilled in Matthew, which was our second reading. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," or "God with us." So Jesus, the Son of God, would leave the glory of heaven and come and be with us. The Christ child has come as Emmanuel, God with us. Only Jesus can pay the price to save us. And as we go through the hymns, we see the other titles given to Jesus. As the rod of Jesse, a descendant of the family of Jesse, Jesus will come. And by his death and resurrection at Easter, Jesus will free his people from Satan's tyranny and make them free forever. Another title is the Dayspring. And as the day spring, Jesus will be the light of the world and banish the hope of darkness forever. And Jesus, as the key of David, holds all authority in heaven and on earth. And for each and every believer, he has locked the doors of hell and unlocks the doors of heaven and waits to welcome us to our true home. And as the Lord of might, there is no power that can stand against Christ. And these are some of the titles, some of the messianic titles that we'll sing in a moment as we sing, O come, Emmanuel. But as we look at the church calendar and look at the church seasons, we know that Christmas turns into Easter as Christ the God-child grows into the God-man who lays down his life for each one of us. My friends, at Easter, the debt is paid. Forgiveness is purchased. We can be God's children. The future is sure. The joy is great. But the end is not yet. We are still living in the gap. Christ has come. Christ has conquered death and sin. But we still live in a broken, fallen world. Now, as we look around us at our world today, I'm sure that we can see that evil still prevails. We cannot understand why it is that the innocent suffer. Why is it that death still snatches away? Why does calamity strike? And why is it that sin still tempts? We ask our coming Lord, knowing that he will come. We pray that he will disperse the gloomy clouds of night and that death's dark shadow would be put to flight. We ache, living in the gap, to see loved ones set free. We know Christ has come. We know Christ is coming. And yet, each day brings fresh challenges and situations that we just simply would not choose. I've been around pastoral ministry long enough to know that Christmas is not always the celebration that we hope for. And yes, and it's wonderful as we join at Christmas and we join friends and families for gifts and food, and it's a wonderful thing if we do. But as we live in this gap, as we look around us, there seems to be so much uncertainty, so much confusion, so much that seems broken, and maybe we have no idea how to fix it. There is much that we do not understand about our world. And so how can and how do we live in this gap? One Christian author wrote, quoting from Corinthians, that as we live between these two events, Christ has come and Christ is coming again, that we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, from 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Friends, how do we live in this gap? Well, I'd suggest to us this morning that in our perplexity, that we can hold on to the greatest truth ever known. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is risen, alleluia. And Christ will come again. As we sing, O come, Emmanuel, we join with generations who have struggled just the same as we do. As we sing, O come, Emmanuel, we are joining our brothers and our sisters around the world who suffer for their Christian faith. And as we sing, O come, Emmanuel, we go on to then sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. We are declaring that eternal truth that despite how we may feel or the situation that we may find us in, Emmanuel, God is with us. Wherever we might find ourselves, in the busyness of our life, as we prepare for Christmas, as we then think about going back to work, in our pain, in our puzzlement, Emmanuel, God is with us. Perhaps in our sadness and our yearning to understand the perplexity of life, Emmanuel, God is with us. Perhaps in our own personal doubt or our fear, Emmanuel, God is with us. When we feel that we might be surrounded by darkness, Jesus has promised, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So my friends, I know this sounds a bit gloomy, but as I look around and as I've spoken to people in this last week, in this last month, there just seems to be the need for people to understand that God is with you. I don't know where you're at this morning, but if you had a week like mine and a week like my family, we need to remember, Emmanuel, that even as we turn our hearts to celebrate Christmas, God is with us. We know that Jesus is Emmanuel. So despite our circumstances, despite our pain, despite our own confusion, we can look back to the first coming of Christ. And as we wait for Emmanuel, for Christ to come again, we can rejoice, living between these two gaps, in the place that we are now, despite our circumstances, we know that God is with us. Let us pray. Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise in your word. And this morning I pray for every single one of us, that at this time where we're sitting right now, that you would come in our hearts and our minds, and that you would remind us that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, as we leave this place, let us not leave you behind. Thank you for that promise, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, and that you are God with us.